Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're in Sechus Psachim Daf Pei Ches, the 8th parak, Ha'isha. This is going to be an abbreviated shir. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Elazar said, what's the meaning of the pasuk V'hochu Amim Rabim, Ramu Chuvin Na'alel Har Hashem El Beis El Kei Yaakov? Many people will go and say, come and let's go up to the mountain of Hashem, to the house of the God of Yaakov. Why does it specify the God of Yaakov and not of Avraham Yitzchak? Elok Avraham Shekasu Bohar. Rather, the pasuk teaches that the base of Mikdash is not like the description found by Avram, of whom it's written a mountain, as it stated, Asher Yomer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yirael, like it said today, on the mountain Hashem is seen. And it's not like the description found by Yitzhak, where it's written field, as it stated, V'yetzah Yitzhak Osuch Basadah, Yitzhak went out to pray in the field. Rather, it's like the description found in the context of Yaakov, who called it a house, as it stated, V'yikra Hashem HaMakom Ahu Beis Kel, he named that place the house of God. Point number two is Tana Brisa that the pasuk states sel labayis, a lamb for a household. Malamed sha'adam mevi v'shochet al yedei beno ubito ketanim al yedei avdo v'shivchasu haknanim. This teaches that a person can bring a pesach and shecht it for his minor son and daughter and for his evkanani or his shivch haknanis, ben medaitim ben shel medaitim, whether with their consent or without their consent. Aval eno shochet al yedei beno ubito gedolim al yedei avdo v'shivchasu ha'ivrim al yedei ishto el medaitim. However, one cannot shecht the pesach for his adult son or daughter, for his Hebrew servant or maidservant, or for his wife, except with their consent. Although adult children and Hebrew slaves are currently being supported by the master of the household, they can choose instead to support themselves, hence they're not defined as household members in this context. Rashi explains that a wife has the right to refuse support from her husband and support herself by keeping her handiwork for her own livelihood. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if a master told his eved to shecht a certain animal as a pesach for him, and the Eved forgot what he was told, the Eved should shecht both a lamb and a kid and say, if my master told me to slaughter a kid, let the kid be his and the lamb mine. And if my master told me to slaughter a lamb, let the lamb be his and the kid mine. Now, shachach rabu ma'amalo, if his master also forgot what he had told him, and both animals had been shechted, shneim yatsilu beis asreifa upaturim m'lasos pesach sheni. Both animals go forth to the place of burning, and the master and the Eved are both exempt from having to make a pesach sheni. Rashi explains that since it's not known which Pesach is the master's and which is the slave's, they cannot be eaten because the Pesach is only eaten by those who are registered on it. At the same time, since a specific offering belonged to each one of them, the Shechita and the Zrika were performed for its respective owner and is valid, exempting them from bringing a Pesach Sheni. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rabbi Elazar said, what's the meaning of the Pasuk V'hochu Amim Rabim, Ramu Chuvin Na'alel Har Hashem El Beis El Kei Yaakov? Many people will go and say, come and let's go up to the mountain of Hashem, to the house of the God of Yaakov. Why does it specify the God of Yaakov and not of Avraham Yitzchak? Elok Avraham Shekasu Bohar. Rather, the pasuk teaches that the base of Mikdash is not like the description found by Avram, of whom it's written a mountain, as it stated, Asher Yomer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yirael, like it said today, on the mountain Hashem is seen. And it's not like the description found by Yitzchak, where it's written field, as it stated, V'yetzah Yitzchak Osuch Basadah. Yitzchak went out to pray in the field. Rather, it's like the description found in the context of Yaakov, who called it a house. As it stated, V'yikra Shem HaMakom Ahu Beis Kel, he named that place the house of God. Point number two is Tana Brisa said that the pasuk states, Sel Labayis, a lamb for a household. Malamed Sha'adam Mevi V'shochet Al Yedei Beno Ubito Ketanim Al Yedei Avdo V'shivchasu Haknanim. This teaches that a person can bring a pesach and shecht it for his minor son and daughter and for his evkanani or his shivch haknanis, ben medaitim ben shel medaitim, whether with their consent or without their consent. Aval eno sheichel al yidei beno bito gedolim al yidei avdo b'shivchasu ha'ivrim al yidei ishto el medaitim. However, one cannot shecht the pesach for his adult son or daughter, for his Hebrew servant or maidservant, or for his wife, except with their consent. Although adult children and Hebrew slaves are currently being supported by the master of the household, they can choose instead to support themselves. Hence, they're not defined as household members in this context. Rashi explains that a wife has the right to refuse support from her husband and support herself by keeping her handiwork for her own livelihood. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if a master told his Eved to shecht a certain animal as a pesach for him, and the Eved forgot what he was told, the Eved should shecht both a lamb and a kid and say, if my master told me to slaughter a kid, let the kid be his and the lamb mine. And if my master told me to slaughter a lamb, let the lamb be his and the kid mine. Now, shachach rabu ma'amalo, if his master also forgot what he had told him, and both animals had been shechted, shneim yatsilu beis asreifa upaturim m'lasos pesach sheni. Both animals go forth to the place of burning, and the master and the Eved are both exempt from having to make a pesach sheni. Rashi explains that since it's not known which pesach is the master's And which is the slaves, they cannot be eaten because the Pesach is only eaten by those who are registered on it. At the same time, since a specific offering belonged to each one of them, the Shechita and the Zrika were performed for its respective owner and is valid, exempting them from bringing a Pesach Sheni. All right, so now we go to Siman for Daf Pei Ches, and our standard Siman is a pach, a garbage can. So here goes. The parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob stopped the watch of Father Shechta Pesach for his kids, wife, and slaves, while another Eved leading a lamb and a kid and who had a worried look on his face passed by. Once again, in slow motion. The parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans, that must mean we're on Daf Pei Ches, pach. The parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said, what's the meaning of the pasuk of Halchu Amim Rabim? For Amru L'chuv Na'aleh Har Hashem, El Beis El Kei Yaakov. Many peoples will go and say, come and let's go up to the mountain of Hashem, to the house of the God of Yaakov. Why does it specify the God of Yaakov and not of Avram Yitzchak? Rather, the pasuk teaches that the Beis HaMikdash is not like the description found by Avram, of whom it's written a har, a mountain. It's not like the description found by Yitzchak, where it was written a sada, a field. Rather, it's like the description found in the context of Yaakov, called it a house, as it stated, V'yikra Shem HaMakom Ahu Beis Kel. He named that place the house of God. So the parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob stopped to watch a father Shechta Pesach for his kids, wife, and slaves. Which reminds us, it was taught in Brice that the Pesach states, Sel Abayis, a lamb for a household. This teaches that a person can bring a Pesach and Shechta for his minor son or daughter and for his Eved Kanani and Shivcha Kananis, Ben Madait and Ben Shel Madait, whether with their consent or without their consent. However, one cannot Shechta Pesach for his adult son or daughter or for his Eved Ivriya or Ami Ivriya or for his wife except with their consent. Although adult children and Hebrew slaves are currently being supported by the master of the household, they can choose instead to support themselves. Hence, they're not defined as household members in this context. And Rashi explains that a wife has the right to refuse support from her husband and support herself by keeping her handiwork for her own livelihood. So the parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob stopped to watch a father Shechta Pesach for his kids, wife, and slaves, while another Eved leading a lamb and a kid and who had a worried look on his face passed by. Which reminds the next Mishnah states that if a master told his Eved to shechta a certain animal as a Pesach for him, and the Eved forgot if it was a lamb or a kid, and shechach rabo ma'amala, and if his master also forgot what he had told him, and both animals had been shechted, both animals go to the Beis HaSreif at the place of burning, and both the master and the Eved are punished from having to make a Pesach Sheni. Rashi explains that since it's not known which Pesach is the master's and which is the slave's, they can't be eaten because the Pesach is only eaten by those who are registered on it. At the same time, since a specific offering belonged to each one of them, the Shechita and the Zrika were performed for its respective owner and is valid, exempting them from bringing a Pesach Sheni. So once again, the parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob stopped to watch a father Shechta Pesach for his kids, wife, and slaves, while another Eved leading a lamb and a kid and who had a worried look on his face passed by. All right, so now it's time to go to our four-blot back Chazara. Daf Pei Dalet. So the Siman Pei Dalet is a spaceship on a launch pad. So here goes. The spaceship on the launch pad, about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip, was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Torah Pesach, while a team of eight scientists debated why he wasn't Chai Malkus for breaking its bone. So once again, slow motion. The spaceship on the launch pad, that must mean where I'm Duff Pei Dalet. The spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip, which reminds us that Rabbah contrasts the two parts of the next mission discussing which parts of the Pesach are considered edible and fit to be counted as portions. The first part stated that anything that's edible in a grown ox is fit to be eaten in a tender kid. This implies that parts which are inedible in a grown ox are not fit to be eaten in a tender kid, but the latter part of the mission continues, including the ends of the shoulder blades and the other cartilage. But these are inedible in a grown ox. So Rabbah concluded that some halachos tonight that the latter part was a Yesh Omrim who holds that the ends of the shoulder blades and of the cartilage are deemed fit to be eaten in a kid, since in a grown ox they can be made edible through extended cooking. Rava said that the Mishnah is writing in the form of a Mahin Katani, or what are they? And this is what it means to teach, anything that is edible in a grown ox through extended cooking is considered fit to be eaten in a tender kid through roasting. What are these parts? Rashi Kanfayim Bachsusim. So the spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Torah Pesach. Which reminds us, it was taught in a Brice regarding why one doesn't receive Malkus for leaving over a part of the Torah Pesach. It says in the pasuk, you shall not leave any of it over until morning, and any of it that's left over until morning shall be burned in the fire. So the pasuk comes to give an ase to burn the leftover after it says the los ase against leaving over to teach that one doesn't get malchus. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says that that's not the reason, but rather it's because the prohibition of leaving over does not involve an action, and therefore one doesn't get malchus for that. So the spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Torah Pesach, while a team of eight scientists debated why he wasn't Chai Malkus for breaking its bone. Which reminds us, it was taught in Bryce that the Pesach states Ve'etzmo Tishmu Bo, and you shall not break a bone in it, Bo B'Kashmolo B'Pasol. The phrase in it implies in a valid Pesach, but not an invalid one. But Rebbe says, Be'bayis Echad Ye'echel, Ve'etzmo Tishmu Bo, in one house it shall be in, and the pasuk continues, and you shall not break a bone in it. The juxtaposition of these two mitzvahs is coming to teach, whatever is fit for eating is subject to the prohibition against breaking a bone, and whatever is not fit for eating is not subject to the prohibition. Now, since only a valid offering may be eaten, Rebbe's teaching seems to be that of the Tanakamas. So the Gemara brings eight amors that explain the difference, and then concludes with a brisa that conforms to four of them. Daf Pehei, so the Simfer Hei is a mouth, we use a dentist. So here goes. The Chabura, a proud dentist. Dentist, that must mean run Daf Pehei, Peh, mouth. The Chabura, a proud dentist, whose hands were always taller as they were extremely careful not to take their Pesach outside, which reminds us, was taught in the Mishnah, Pigol Venoser Metamnis Yadayim. Pigol Venoser are Metami the hands that touch, which Rashi explains in the Rabbanan. Pigol Mishum Chajdei Kohuna. Pigol because of suspect Kohanim who wanted to cause a monetary loss to those they didn't like. The Rabbanan therefore decreed two on their hands to be betrayed at the Kohen to immerse them, which would serve as a deterrent. And Nosum Mishum Atzrei Kohuna, because of lazy Kohanim. Rashi explains that the decree would spur lazy Kohanim to eat the meat who might otherwise have let it become Nosar. The question was asked whether the same decree was enacted for people taking the Pesach beyond its boundary, and the Gemara concludes that there was no need b'nei chaburah's reason hen. The members of the group that offer the Pesach are zealous, and they're careful with the meat not to take it out of its boundary. So the chaburah, a proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take the Pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a chaburah of orthodontist carry a carcass out in poles and place it down, which reminds us, Rabbi Ami said, Hamotzi batzer Pesach mechaburah, chaburah eino chayv ad she'aniach. If one removes meat of the Pesach from the location of one group to another of another group, he's not chayv unless he places it down in a new location. Hotzak sibe k'shabbos. The expression of removing is written concerning the meat, like it's written concerning Shabbos. Just like Shabbos, one's not chayv until he does an akir b'chanachah. So to hear a person's not chayv until he does an akir b'chanachah. Rabbi Amar Bar Amar challenged him for a mission on Zvachim regarding carrying the carcass of the inner chatas offerings out on poles beyond the walls of the Azara, where those in the front are metamei their garments as soon as they emerge from the Azara, even though the offering has not yet come to rest on the ground. So Rabbi Amar Bar Amar resolved his own question, saying it was benigrarim. The mission is dealing with the case where the carcasses are dragging on the ground. Tosa says it was lav dafka that they're dragging, rather the limbs hang down to within three tefachim of the ground and are deemed resting on the ground based on the principle of lavud. So the chabura, proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take their Pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a chabura of orthodontist carrying a carcass out on poles and place it down outside the door jamb next to a metal barrier where a minion dovin. Which reminds us, the next mission defines the boundary for the prohibition of taking the Pesach outside, mina agav lifnim ko lifnim, from the door jamb inward as it judges inside, mina agav l'chutz ko l'chutz, and from the door jamb outward is considered outside. But Yehuda said in the name of Rav, the ken l'tfilah, the same Allah applies regarding tfilah. Rav disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, who said, afil mechitzu shel barza in mafsechus ben Yisrael l'avihim shev shamayim, even metal barrier does not separate between the Jews and their father in heaven. Rashi explains that there's no such thing as a barrier before Kodesh Baruch Hu, since everything's revealed to him, therefore the door jamb is not affected, and they're viewed as one group. Daf Pei Vav. So the Simmer Daf Pei Vav is police. So here goes. The police, police. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Vav. The police who respond to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing challah on consecrated roofs, which reminds on the bottom of Pei Hei on the base, Rav said, Gagim Valios Lenis Kachu. The rooftops and the upper stories of both Yerushalayim and the Azor were not consecrated. The implication is that Kachim calling such as the Pesach cannot be eaten there. The Gemara questions this ruling. As Rav himself said in the name of Vichia, Kazesa Pesach of Halela Paka Ikra, a Kazais for each registrant and the sound of the challah would crack the roof. Rashi explains that the singing was so loud that it would seem as though the roofs of Yerushalayim were cracking. This implies they used to recite challah on the rooftops and suggests they ate the Pesach on the rooftops as well. The Gemara answers they ate the Pesach on the ground and then recited challah on the roofs and further clarifies that challah was recited after the meal concluded, where she explains that there was no longer concern that people would carry some meat with them. So the police who respond to the call cracking roofs on Pesach night discover Jewish guests singing challah on unconsecrated roofs, while they notice down below two groups eating a single Pesach. Which reminds the next Mishnah states, Shtei chabur shei ochim b'bayis echav. If two groups are eating a single Pesach in one house, which Rashi explains to mean they all registered for the offering, but when the time came to eat it, they chose to eat it in separate groups, and each group may turn their faces in different directions and eat. The Gemara says that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Pesach may be eaten in two groups, but each person may only eat it in one place. Rabbi Shimon holds each person can eat in different places, but when they initially sit down, they must do so as one group. The Machlokas is based on whether one holds Yesh Emul Mesoras. Primacy is given to the way the words are written in the Pasuk, or Yesh Em LaMikra. Primacy is given to the way the words are pronounced. So the police who respond to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discover joyous guests singing challah on unconsecrated roofs, while they notice down below two groups eating a single Pesach and frowning at one of their guests lying on a couch and drinking his wine in two gulps. Which reminds the Gemara relates when Rav Huna Brei Menachem visited the home of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the hosts were shocked by his behavior when they offered him to sit on a couch. He seated himself. Rashi explains that they expected he would graciously decline and sit on the floor or chair as per the regular custom. They gave him a cup to drink, and he accepted it with the first offer. He drank it in two gulps, and he didn't avert his face while drinking. When they asked him about his behavior, he explained regarding sitting on the couch, whatever the host tells you to do, do. He accepted the cup on first offer because Masarvin Lakatan Ve'en Masarvin Lagadol, one may refuse a lesser man, but we may not refuse a great man to drink in two drafts, because it states in a brisa that drinking in one draft is guzzling, drinking in two drafts is proper conduct, and drinking in three is haughty. And he didn't avert his face because the Mishnah states that a kala averts her face, which implies that it's not appropriate for a man to do so. Dab Pezayin. So the Simmer Dab Pezayin is gold, and we use a gold digger. So here goes. The gold digger, that must be one Dab Pezayin. The gold digger, whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach, which reminds us there was a steer between the Mishnah and the Brisa regarding where a woman goes to eat the Pesach on her first Yantiv after the wedding and subsequently, and the Gemara clarifies that when the Mishnah said if a woman went to spend the first Yantiv in her father's house, and her father shechted a Pesach for her, and her husband also shechted a Pesach for her, Tochel b'makom she rotza, she eats where she wants, that was a case where the woman was not a Radufa, not eager to go back to her father's house. The Brisa that stated a woman on the first Yantiv after a wedding eats of her father's Pesach is referring to a woman who is a Radufa, eager to go back to her father's home. So the gold digger, whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach, pleaded with her not to go, promising to never divorce her. Which reminds us that as part of the exchange the Kodesh Baruch Hu had with Hoshea when Klal Yisrael was sinning, and Hoshea said to Kodesh Baruch Hu that he should exchange us with a different nation, that Kodesh Baruch Hu had Hoshea marry Azona, have children with her, and then told him to divorce her. When Hoshea said that was very difficult to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said all the more so where Yisrael are one of his four kinyanim, which include Torah, Shemaim V'Aretz, and the base of Migdash. So the gold digger whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach pleaded with her not to go, promising to never divorce her, which would be worse than Galus and Bavel, which reminds us that the Rebbe Lezer said the reason for Galus is to gather Gerim. Rabbi Yoshia said HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it stuck and that he spread us out in Galus so that we couldn't be wiped out as one, and then discussed the different reasons we went down to Bavel, and that the language is similar to that of the Torah, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them back to their mother's house, referring to Ur Kasdim, where Avraham Avinu's Amunah was realized, and also that they would be able to eat dates, which were abundant in Bavel, and will subsequently be able to occupy themselves in Limud Torah. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.